Blog Talk Radio.
Heard like a hiss for years. I'm in the living room, banging on an old upright, where my world began. Discovering the music that the child I was, before I became the man that I am.
Hi, and welcome to WAMS Radio, the Blog Talk Radio Network, broadcasting live worldwide from our studios here in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. I'm Bert Gowan, and we love to talk to authors of interesting, exciting reads. And, you know, a book can be educational, a book can be informative, but if it's not interesting, if it doesn't hold the reader all the way through from stem to stern, well, there's just not much audience for it. And this next book and the author have found themselves in the middle of a firestorm of controversy because of what's happening on the world stage today. But at the end of the day, the book, The Order of the Midnight Rose, is just a great read. And the author, Anthony Dozier, joins us live now on the Blog Talk Radio Network and WAMS Radio. And let's see if we can get Anthony on the line and pepper him with questions about the process behind writing the book and what makes it such a big success. Hi, Anthony. Are you on with us on Blog Talk Radio? Hello, I'm looking for Anthony Dozier, the author of Order of the Midnight Rose. Are you with us?
Mark, can you hear me?
There you are, and welcome to the program.
How are you?
I'm great. It's so good to have you on the air, and we're going to start off, Anthony, with a question for you that will take us back in history a little bit around this book. And the real historical beginning of those bad feelings between the Muslims and the Christians that you talk about in the Order of the Midnight Rose, your book takes place back in medieval times. Is that where it all began to go horribly wrong?
Well, if you look at one single event, there's not one single event that stands out in history as far as some of the conflicts that have occurred. But you can certainly look at the Crusades era, and there were three major Crusades as being some of the largest scale events where you had conflict based on religious ideology between Christians and Muslims. My book actually takes place during the end of the Third Crusade, approximately the year 1192, and a lot of the conflicts that have occurred today, you can trace some of their roots back to that same era.
Now, during the Crusades, which is where your book took place, this is sort of the days, for folks that may have slept through the junior high history classes, these are the days sort of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table and lots of sword fights and maidens and that sort of thing. Is that right?
Very much so. A lot of your listeners will probably be familiar with Richard the Lionhearted and some of the other figures from the Robin Hood stories and so forth. This is the era that we're talking about. Richard the Lionhearted is actually mentioned in the book, and it's during this time where you essentially had Muslims ruling the holy city of Jerusalem. So you had the Pope in Rome actually organize kings from England, France, and Germany into one army under the Christian flag to the sole purpose of going back to Jerusalem and recapturing the city for Christian rule. So essentially, you had, in the name of religion, several different armies coming together to battle against the Muslims. Ultimately, they were not successful, but that was the intent behind their mission.
The author is Anthony Dozier. The book is The Order of the Midnight Rose, available in bookstores everywhere and online as well. If you'd like to talk to Anthony, the telephone number is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. Anthony, are you a student of history? Are you a fan of that era? What was the impetus behind writing The Order of the Midnight Rose?
I'm very much a student of history in different regions, different time periods, and so forth. The specific interest I had in this story, The Order of the Midnight Rose, was looking at some of the events that have happened in our country around 9/11 and some other smaller scale events of terrorism. And there's been a lot of talk in the media about Muslim extremists. And realizing from just some Muslim acquaintances I had, these are people that are on the fringes and not the mainstream society. I wanted to understand better, where does the conflict come from? So essentially what the book centers on is some of the underlying tenets that have plagued that relationship over the past 1,000 years or so. And it looks specifically at a relationship between an Islamic woman and a Christian knight, an African-born, European-raised Christian knight that falls in love with this Persian-born Islamic woman, and looks at some of the struggles that the two of them deal with in their relationship, and looks at the interaction between the two religions and some of the strife and stress that ensued during the period.
If you take a look at our website, the WAMS Radio website, there's an incredible video press release about the book, and it has some visuals, including some visuals of you, Anthony, but some visuals from that time period that I think really helped bring the story alive. And that really was, for lack of better terminology, a real rough and tumble period in world history. I mean, this was not a dainty, pretty, clean time in the historical scope of things.
Very true, Burke. During the times, as most wars typically are about land, wealth, riches, that was some of the motivating factors behind some of the conflicts that happened in the Middle East 1,000 years ago, as they still are today. And the book really gives a gritty, realistic depiction of what life was really like for the soldiers and for the kings and queens and other participants and the common people as well during the era, how they lived and loved, how they interacted with each other, how they joked with each other, how they fought and loved. And it really gives, several years of research went into the book to give as realistic a depiction of the times as possible, down to some of the songs that they may have sung and the way they thought about things and problems of the day.
And Anthony, I have to congratulate you. The reviews on the book have just been stupendous. If you look up the book on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, people are very effusive in their praise. And I have to tell you, I think the thing reads like a movie. I can totally see this sort of in the same vein as a Braveheart movie, a very epic struggle type film.
That's one of the things that I've always enjoyed when I was reading the book or seeing a good movie is if there's going to be fight scenes, battle scenes, those kind of things, I like to see realism and creativity in terms of the research that goes into designing some of those epic battles that you see in both in books and in movies. So a lot of those elements are within the Order of the Midnight Rose, where you'll have innovative battle strategies that we use during the time period. You'll have the human element, where a lot of movies and books kind of gloss over what were the relationships like between soldiers. It's not just all about fighting. It's not just all about conquest and war. These were real people. They had real lives and real emotions, and those elements are brought out within the story.
Anthony Dozier is the author. He's talking about the character development of his novel, The Order of the Midnight Rose, and it's available at bookstores everywhere and online as well. What's the best website for folks to get a copy of that book, Anthony?
You can go to my website, which is newbooksnow.com, newbooksnow.com. The book's also available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and any of your local bookstores, you can request a book and they'll order it for you.
Newbooksnow.com or Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And we've got a caller for you now on WAMS Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network calling in from the great state of North Carolina. Hi, you're on the air with author Anthony Dozier. Hello, caller, are you there? Oh, the caller can't hear us. Anthony, as we talk about the Order of the Midnight Rose, one of the reasons I think that this book has been so media friendly, if you will, and you know, you just did a radio interview, I know, in Philadelphia just this morning on it. You were on in Denver. You've been on nationwide on satellite radio programs talking about it, is this ongoing strife between Muslims and Christians, and of course it's been forefront in everyone's mind since 9/11. Why, in your opinion, as you've studied this book and you put it together, why do you think these Muslim extremists just seem to hate Americans so intently?
Well, it's just that these are extremists that are on the fringes, and when you look at the conditions that they come out of, it's a very fertile breeding ground for some of the mentality that we see in any terrorist, whatever group they may be from. A lot of poverty. You're talking about a lot of third world countries in particular, where the poverty they experience is far worse than anything we see in our country. Lack of education as well. So once you combine all these elements together, it becomes very easy to convince a group of people that America is the great Satan, or our way of life is a target for their anger or angst. So I think what happens is, in this breeding ground, you have a lot of young, impressionable minds that have this kind of hate speak preached to them over and over again. And if you're from an impoverished situation or family, and you're told that, hey, listen, if you'll go commit this act of terrorism, your family will be well taken care of, you'll be considered a hero even in death, plus you have this beautiful heaven awaiting you, it's not too difficult to understand why misguided youth could be taken in by that kind of philosophy and talk and believe that it could come to pass, or that they should carry out this act of terrorism. And by no means do the Muslims have the monopoly on this. We have homegrown terrorists here.
Sure.
My wife and I were actually in Atlanta back in 1996 at the Olympic Park the night that a bomb went off. We were standing in the exact location about an hour prior to the bomb exploding. So terrorism comes in all shapes, colors, and flavors. But I think in these third world countries in particular that happen to be Islamic-based, you have so much abject poverty and lack of education that it becomes a more of a fertile breeding ground for this kind of thought and behavior.
We're talking with author Anthony Dozier. His new book is The Order of the Midnight Rose. This is not a boring foreign policy manual cranked out by some policy wonk here in Washington, D.C., by any stretch of the imagination. This is a fast-paced novel that was set back in the Crusades. Action-filled, and there's family and faith and betrayal and power and all those things that make for a great read. I'm Bert Gallen on WAMS on the Blog Talk Radio Network, and we've got a caller on the line for author Anthony Dozier. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Geneva. And, Anthony, I wanted to know, where do you see relationships going between Christians and Muslims in the future?
That's an excellent question. I think if we have more open dialogue and communication, I think the relationships will improve. People tend to be somewhat tribal in their way of thinking, and if another group's different or has differing faiths or speaks a different language, it's very easy to segregate ourselves and have a segregated mentality. I think if dialogue continues and there's more outreach initiated by both sides of the religious aisle, so to speak, I think relations will continue to improve.
Geneva, can I ask you a question? Geneva, are you a Christian or a Muslim?
I'm a Christian.
And do you believe that some of these Christian extremists, like John Hagee, Jimmy Swaggart, Jeremiah Wright, some of those folks can at times, do you think, can be just as dangerous as the extreme Muslims?
Yeah. And it just really depends on the person and actually what they believe in, and versus, you know, using a religion or a faith as a cover-up to do something wrong. So, yeah, I do.
I thank you for your opinion. Thank you for the call to author Anthony Dozier on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And if you'd like to call in and be a part of the program, we'd love to hear from you today. It's 718-506-1944. That's 718-506-1944. A free call if you happen to be in the New York City metropolitan area. Anthony, as people read this book, The Order of the Midnight Rose, you know, we've got a presidential candidate who's been batted around quite a bit recently as possibly having secret Muslim roots. You know, he spent part of his youth growing up in Africa, and people have really come after this guy as possibly being a Muslim. And so let me ask your opinion on this. You know, do you think he is? And if so, why do people care so much?
You know, I think it's kind of amusing in that Barack Obama's been criticized as being a secret Muslim, but in the same breath, he's been criticized for having attended a Christian church for the past 20 years and by comments that his pastor's made. So it's kind of like
I can't win.
You have to make up your mind which poison you're going to beat him up about. You really can't fit in under both umbrellas. From all the research I've done and everything I've seen, is he's made it very clear that he is a Christian. I know he spent some time as a youth studying the Islamic faith as a young person, but as a person that studied the Islamic faith as well as several other faiths, I can tell you, and I am a Christian, I can tell you that certainly doesn't make you what you read, so to speak.
Sure.
So from everything I've seen and all the evidence and his own statements, he is very much a Christian.
Anthony Dozier is the author of The Order of the Midnight Rose, available at newbooksnow.com, along with Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores all over the country. And Anthony definitely making the rounds, because this is a book that takes a look at this controversial and centuries-old battle between Muslims and Christians. Anthony, for folks that haven't read the book yet, and there are a bunch of them out there, can you sort of give us a snapshot of what the book is about, whet our appetite, and make us want to run out to the bookstore and grab this thing?
Absolutely. The book explores the relationship between an African-born, European-raised Christian knight that falls in love with a Persian-born Islamic woman. Between the two of them, they come into possession of a religious Christian artifact, and their factions from both sides of the Christian world as well as the Islamic world that begin to pursue them in search of this artifact. And so what the book really does is explores some of the relationships, some of the prejudices that this couple encounters, both based on their religious background as well as their heritage and where they're from and living in the European community. So it looks at all those components, and it's a fast-paced, epic action story. There's love and suspense elements in it as well. The book was really written to try to capture all the elements of the human story as opposed to being purely action or purely suspense type of story. It's got a lot of different elements in it. And from the readers that have read it so far and the reviews we've gotten so far, I think there's something for all of your listeners.
It's a great read. The book is The Order of the Midnight Rose. Anthony Dozier is the author. If you'd like to talk with him, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 718-506-1944. If you're a little microphone shy, radio shy, you can always send us a question on the chat blog as well here at the Blog Talk Radio Network. Anthony, let me ask you, what do you think, as you've done the research for this book, both the historical as well as what's happening in the world today, what do you think the United States should do to build bridges of trust with folks of the Islamic faith? I'm sure you talked to a lot of them as you were doing research for this book.
That's an excellent question, and that came up in a discussion I had with a group here in North Carolina not too long ago. I think the answer to that is going to be communication. During World War II, both the United States and Germany did an excellent job of using propaganda to spread their beliefs and talk more about their countries and what they had to offer. So the people on the ground that were not actually in the tanks and not battling began to capture these leaflets and flyers and read them, and it changed their perspective in many cases about the nature of the country that was doing the attacking or defending, as it were. I think we need to have more of that kind of dialogue with Middle Eastern countries. If you close your borders and you don't talk, you don't communicate, it's very easy for the indigenous people to form a negative opinion of you. If the United States is providing financial aid, if we're providing food and medical drugs to some of these third world impoverished countries, if you see that every drug that you're getting from anti-malaria drugs to antibiotics to HIV medications are coming from the United States, it's much more difficult for the people that are impoverished in that region to hate your country when you're providing the actual food that their child is using to survive.
Sure.
I think more of those kind of efforts to educate and use propaganda in a positive sense is going to be absolutely critical to improving the overall relationships and stomping out some of the negative attitudes that exist today. You're never going to totally eliminate it. I don't think that's a realistic goal, but I think we can dramatically reduce some of the negative thoughts and opinions by having a counterattack, if you will, of positive propaganda and communication in relation to all the efforts that our country does.
Anthony Dozier is our guest on WAMS Radio. We're talking about the differences between Christians and Muslims and Anthony's new book, The Order of the Midnight Rose, available at newbooksnow.com. That's newbooksnow.com, along with Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores around the country. Here's a question from our chat room, Anthony. If the Muslim holy book, the Quran, and the religion itself is so peaceful, then this writer wants to know why there's so much violence and hatred that manifests itself in tragedies like September the 11th. So there you have it. If the Quran and the Muslim religion is itself so peaceful, then why is there so much violence and hatred? Does that go back, in your opinion, to the lack of education in a lot of those countries?
Very much so. The Islamic tradition is fundamentally a peaceful religion. The Quran itself is fundamentally peaceful. Now you can find violence within it, as you can find violence within the Bible. But fundamentally, in terms of its instruction to its followers, it is a peaceful religion. But as we mentioned earlier, when you have ignorance and you have negative attitudes that are allowed to fester or fed and brainwashed, if you will, in addition to all the poverty issues we mentioned and those types of negative elements that allow for that breeding ground, it becomes very easy to build an army, if you will, of soldiers that are unified in their dislike or hatred of another country or culture. I think if you look at some of the Christian terrorists that we've had in this country, and I can go all the way back to the Ku Klux Klan and some of the other negative institutions that we've seen in America's own history, it's very evident that the Bible and any religious scripture can be used negatively, particularly when the members don't take their own responsibility and look in the pages of the book themselves and read and understand the written word for themselves. If you kind of suspend all your own mental capabilities and you strictly listen to another person's point of view in defining your faith, it becomes very easy to become manipulated into where a corrupt politician or minister or an imam at a mosque can easily twist your thoughts and notions, and in the name of religion or in the name of written scripture, they can convince you to commit acts of terrorism or violence. I think it's up to us as individuals to make sure that we're accountable for our own religious beliefs and have some common sense, whatever your faith may be, as you're researching your religion in terms of what your actions should be and how you should conduct yourself with other people. And as we mentioned before, in regards to communication, most important is to actually reach out and meet and dialogue and talk to some people of different faiths. If you never have a conversation with a person of a Muslim background or a Jewish faith or Hindu faith, how are you ever going to truly understand their perspective and where they come from?
I think it's very well put. Anthony Dozier is the author of The Order of the Midnight Rose, available at newbooksnow.com and, of course, online at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, where you'll see incredible reviews for that book. And at your local bookstore, if they don't have it, they can order it, so be sure to ask for it. And Anthony, you mentioned this poor communication and really not checking things out for yourself. And I'm reminded, and of course some of our younger listeners may not remember this, of the horrible Jonestown massacre that happened in the late 70s with a Christian minister, with Jim Jones.
Very vivid example of a flock of followers suspending all their rationale and belief and putting their entire faith in the hands of one person. If that person's twisted and has control of their mental faculties, you can have that kind of tragedy occur. We had that event, less than 10 years ago in California with the cult that believed they were going to ride on Halley's Comet into heaven.
Sure. Yep.
And you had, I don't know how many deaths associated with that event, but tragically, some people are susceptible to that kind of mental brainwashing and suggestion, and particularly when you tie it to religion or to the afterlife, things of that nature, people tend to be more willing to buy in without doing a great deal of thought for themselves on the matter.
And, of course, this past summer we had the same issue with the LDS fundamentalist cult down there in Texas. Now, you yourself, Anthony, grew up as the son of a Presbyterian minister. Tell me what that life was like growing up. I would imagine you did not get get away with a whole lot.
It's interesting. The way my brother and I were raised in our particular household, we were taught to think and challenge and question. And I think that's been extremely helpful to me as an adult, because I have a bit different perspective than some individuals may have. If you're taught that this is the one way and there's only one way, I think it limits some of the creativity and natural curiosity that kids have. I think it's a better approach is give your kids exposure, make sure they understand how the different religions work and what the tenets are and what their beliefs are. It makes it easier and simpler to understand your faith and how your particular religion fits into the world scheme. I can remember going to college and having very drawn-out discussions with people of different faiths about their religion, about their backgrounds, and I had a better perspective than some of them just from the standpoint of I was already familiar with some of the different religions, and I wasn't coming from a place of ignorance.
Well, you know, as the son of a minister, one might think that that you got a whole lot of it's my way or the highway, but it sounds like it was actually the opposite, that you were encouraged as a young man to see what else is out there and make decisions on your own.
My father is a very open-minded individual, and I think he was a teacher first and foremost, which very much empowered me to make some of my own decisions when it came to religion, and encouraged me to do research, and if I had a question, to bring it to him for open discussion as opposed to a one-way lecture. And I can tell you, I was extremely appreciative of that, and other people that I've met that have been raised in similar types of churches, I think appreciate that as well.
You know, the two lead characters in The Order of the Midnight Rose, your latest novel, as you mentioned, come from different religious backgrounds, and you know, you see that more and more in today's world, but how difficult do you think it would be to have a close relationship, a romantic relationship, with someone who has a completely different religion? Is that doable at all? And if so, what do you think are some of the keys to making that work?
Well, it's doable. I have several friends that married people of different faiths. I have, speaking of the fact that I'm a Presbyterian, I have a friend that's a Presbyterian, and she's married to an individual that happens to be Jewish, and basically they've managed to make it work for years by respecting each other's faith and spending time both at synagogue and at church as their schedules permit. And I think the first and foremost thing is to have a mutual respect of the different religions. Now, here in the States, it's much easier to do so because we do have freedoms that we can exercise. There are some countries where to do such would be extremely looked down upon, if not even illegal in certain societies. That is, you know, first and foremost, you need to have a government that actually supports and protects that right. Fortunately, we do have so. And again, I think if the lines of communication are open and if both parties respect the other's position and educate themselves about each other's religion, I think it can certainly work. Now, undeniably, there would have to be some compromises made. For example, if you had someone of an Islamic faith marrying someone of a Christian faith, there may be some compromises that need to be made on the style of dress and the way we conduct ourselves, that kind of thing, depending on which faith they lean towards in that respect. But again, if the individuals involved are willing, I don't see there being any obstacles to prevent them from having a successful relationship.
And that is one of the key points in the book, The Order of the Midnight Rose. And it's a romantic novel. It's a historical novel. It's an action novel. There's a lot that you packed into a very few pages. And the thing just moves really, really well. And it is a fun read. And Anthony Dozier has been our guest today on WAMS Radio and the Blog Talk Radio Network. And Anthony, one more time, tell folks how they can get a copy of The Order of the Midnight Rose. What's the easiest way to go about it? And especially for our folks who are listening on the Blog Talk Radio Network, they're online folks. So how can they pick up your book online?
Absolutely. You can go to newbooksnow.com, newbooksnow.com. It's also available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and any of your local bookstores, you can order the book as well.
great. Anthony, thank you so much for being on WAMS Radio with us today, and best of luck with the order of the Midnight Rose.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Bert Gowlin on WAMS Radio. Thank you so much for listening.